Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Hey, welcome to Busting Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. Hey, we're here all the time to talk to you about drafts, prospects, the future on all the sports. And, of course, the NFL draft seems like a million miles away. And the Lions' issues right now, hey, they're a great team, missing Aiden Hutchinson. But now it looks like maybe J-Mo for more than just the two games. And Jameson Williams has become a linchpin. I mean, it's a topic of discussion. Our radio station where we're based, 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, is WJMO Radio, JMO, all the time. And it's all about, even as great as the Lions have been, even with, hey, the trade deadline's coming up, JMO, JMO, JMO. And, Evan, you remember this, when the Pistons won their last championship and then the next year fired Larry Brown, the owner of the team, the late William Davidson, said, too much Larry Brown, not enough Detroit Pistons, because he was always soliciting jobs. It's like too much Jameson Williams and not enough Detroit Lions. Yet, he's been a pretty good football player for him. He's developed that way. So, looking at J-Mo, is he just misunderstood, or is he the definition of a knucklehead?
Yeah. I like the way that you phrase that, because you got me. I think he's a little bit just... I don't even know how to put a term on it, because it's almost like he feels like he can just get away with whatever at this point in time, which is kind of weird. But having said that, what has he really, really done wrong? He did the gambling thing, which he wasn't betting on football, so was it that big of a deal in the eyes of fans? Absolutely not. In the eyes of his coaches, it seemed like absolutely not a learning experience.
It wasn't a big deal, and the NFL used him as a scapegoat. They did, because they got into bed with the gambling sites, and he was the sacrificial lamb. That's what right. I felt at the time. So I defended J-Mo vehemently about that.
Vehemently. So then we get to the PED or PES, however you want to put it. It's a two-game suspension. Now, we don't know exactly what that is. You imagine it's something with a medicine or something like that. I mean, you look at the guy, he's not on steroids, that's for sure. I think that was a blip that sucked, but it came at a time within the season that maybe it didn't really matter. But then again, not a big deal to the fans, and also didn't seem like a big deal to the coaching staff. Which then brings us to October 8th, getting pulled over for speeding, having a gun that was registered to him, did not have a CPL, which he was forthcoming in doing so, which ultimately ended up is the reason why we're here. And maybe more of this is on the Detroit Police Department wanting to see a Super Bowl as much as every other fan wants to see one. So they let the young man go, which people then caught wind of in Channel 7, and rightfully so. I know a lot of fans are trying to vilify them, but guess what? Their job is to see if the Detroit Police Department is making shady decisions, and that's exactly what it seemed like they did. So I don't blame them at all. Now, I don't think he can have another instance because, I mean, Dan Campbell stood up there at the podium and, you know, we believe in the heart of the player, not exactly these things. I think that's his last strike, and he's on a very, very thin wire. Like, you can't fall off this, because you really look at his production on the field, Pat. It's like 17 catches this year. So it's not like he's out there being a possession receiver or he's doing this and that. But what he can do is make your offense more – complete, I guess, for other players than Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jahmyr Gibbs or Montgomery, because he can take the top off. And so you have to really, really, really respect that as a defense. But if you look across football, there's a lot of really, really, really fast guys out there that you can go and find. Now, not all of them are you going to spend draft capital with the number 12 overall pick on a young man. But I think they're in such a conundrum that it's like the kid is really good and he really adds another dynamic to your offense. But at what point do you want this to not be a distraction? People can say whatever
this is how I feel about it. The off the field stuff wasn't a big deal to me. I thought the gambling thing was bad. I didn't care if he's at a Coney Island at 2 o'clock in the morning in Detroit. You know, I've said this a lot. I've been at Coney Islands at 2 o'clock in the morning in Detroit. They're open all night for a reason. People like to go to them. All right. So that wasn't that big a deal. Some people are like, well, you just got busted for this thing. And now you're in Vegas or whatever. But you can gamble legally in Vegas. It had nothing to do with it. So, I defended that. What I didn't like about him was on the field originally. I thought he was going to be a bust. After a while, he had a catch radius of a keyhole, and he had boards for hands, and he was immature, like in a way, like the wide receiver diva thing. I'm open, you know, and Jared Goff knows those defenses and what they're doing, and he showed up as quarterback, and we'd get a number of calls saying, Goff can't get him the ball, he doesn't have a deep arm and everything, so... It wasn't a good thing, but he worked his ass off, it appeared, and became a very good receiver now. He catches balls in tight windows. He's shown some catch radius. He's not dropping passes right into his breadbasket anymore. He has a purpose on the team that's defined, and he's good at. And he's an important part of the team early in the year. So as a player, I think a lot of him now. But this last thing, when it's guns, man, you got to have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. If you're carrying, you got to know those laws. You got to know the difference between if you're in the car or out of the car. You got to know a simple thing. It's an open carry state, but if your shirt drops below where your gun's at and it becomes a concealed weapon, you're going to get arrested so fast your head will spin. So there's so many things, and it did look like the Detroit Police Department, showed favoritism to him because he's a lion. But they give people breaks all the time, cops, on something like that. And it's not something that he's going to go to prison for or anything like that. If he had not said that he had the gun and then they found the gun when he was confronted by the cops, then he would have been in real serious trouble. But this is going to be a fairly minor thing. Anybody might get banged by the league again because the league hears guns. League has provisions in its collective bargaining agreement, and he might get whacked again. So the question to me is, and I don't think he's just going to step onto the field again and be like he was before. I mean, there's going to be an adjustment period when he comes back probably. So none of that's good. But what about moving forward? He's in the third year of his contract. He's got one more and then an option year. And the Lions, they've got depth at a lot of different positions, but there are two positions of need that we talk a lot about. Obviously, edge rusher. I mean, that's the number one thing. Get somebody that's a bookend for Hutch. And then the other one is wide receiver. We talked about. They don't have a lot of depth in their wide receiver room. It's like Tim Patrick, and they're bringing up Isaiah Williams. They've certainly got receiving threats with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta, and they could probably utilize Gibbs a lot more than what they have in that realm. And Cliff Raymond does some really good things, but it's not a position of strength in terms of depth. So wide receiver on the board this year. What do you do? And you're not drafting in the top 15, so you're not going to get Travis Hunter. You're not going to get, I think they pronounce his name, Tatora McMillan, but he's always called T-Mac, the one-hand catch specialist from Arizona. That guy's really, really good, and he's going to go. Or you're not going to get Luther Burden, who's a fantastic player from Missouri. So you draft in late in the first round. There are some pretty good choices, but they're not like big name guys. You know, the one that I like the most is a kid named Jalen Royals from Utah State. He's going to run a sub 4.440, gets deep. He's got a lot of twitch action and a very underrated player. If he were at a, you know, power four conference school, he would have the reputation of a Luther Burden or a T-Mac. And then another player that I like a lot is a kid from Mississippi. His name is Trey Harris, and he's a big receiver. Royals is about 6 foot tall, about 190, something like that, but real fast. Trey Harris got a very raw route runner, but tall receiver who can stretch the field. And he would be a tremendous deep threat at that position in the upcoming draft and would be available at that point. So looking at him, Ibuka from Ohio State is highly ranked, but I don't know how much of a pure deep threat he is. You know, if you're looking for that over-the-top guy.
And that was going to be my question to you. Does it necessarily, like, if they decided to go this route, obviously we're talking hypothetically, but if they went that route, would it have to be a quote-unquote clone of J-Mo where you need the ability to take the top off? Because
well, the one that reminds me most of him is Royals. And then the other one is from Texas, Isaiah Bond. Who's a similar size, similar speed equation, played in a big-time program. Obviously not as productive as J-Mo was that last year at Alabama. I mean, very few receivers are. I mean, he did have a fantastic year. But I think those are the comparable skills there. But you got two choices. They don't have a big receiver. They don't have that 6'4", hey, throw it up in the end zone, high point it. And they could use that. Yeah. Seriously. Or you want somebody that's got 4.3 speed. And, you know, there's only one Calvin Johnson that had both of those things. You know, so you're not going to get it with that. That's a good point.
Yeah, and the way that I look at it is just Ben Johnson is so innovative. And the question, I mean, is even he going to be here next year? Where how does that play into what they want to do offensively with the wide receivers? But you're right, Pat. They're one injury away on that receiver line that it could go a bad way for them. You know, if Cleef Raymond stepped in against the Titans and he was all everything, he's returning punts, he's catching passes for touchdowns. Only thing he didn't do was throwing in. And it almost makes it look like they can plug anybody into these spots right now. And now the real question is going to be this week in Green Bay and, you know, like, can they get production out of Allen Robinson, who hasn't been productive in weeks? Or, like you said, Isaiah Williams, who's a rookie, that is Jim not Patrick, a J-Mo exactly, but he's more of a shifty guy like Cleef Raymond is or St. Brown is.
I personally feel, and I don't know, the trade deadline's coming up, but I personally feel the ship sailed on that. They've got what they've got right now.
Yeah.
Isaiah Williams, I was surprised he wasn't drafted. He was a very good college player. But we'll have to see what he can present. But he can't run like J-Mo. I mean, he ran like a 4.63, 40. That's one of the reasons he wasn't drafted. And he's not a big guy. He's a small guy. But he could be one of those guys who does some things, but not necessarily the, you know, the things that J-Mo can do, take a reverse and, you know, break off 40 yards for you.
And that's the other thing that he brings to the offense is just it's that speed from any point. And the one thing that I haven't really seen them do, they've done a little bit, but use them in the RPO game, you know, with wide receiver screens and stuff like that and let them just see the open field. They've done it a couple times. I mean, they actually did it against Minnesota the last game he played, and he had one catch for -4 yards, and people had fun at his expense on social media because of that. But I think his leash is long enough, and if he's productive enough on the field that the team likes this young man enough that they're going to stick behind him. But you make one more mistake, whether it's nefarious or it's a big-time deal, I think they're going to start looking at him differently because his option is going to cost, what, $10 to $15 million or something like that. That's a lot of money where in a team that's giving a lot of players a lot of money, you know, you got Kirby Joseph coming up, you got Aiden Hutchinson is going to come up. They're going to pay those two people. So,
Branch.
What do you do? Can you afford to pay a receiver that
LaPorta?
Much?
LaPorta.
Yeah.
Right, and if they pick up his option, it's going to be probably double digits. See, mm-hmm. he hasn't made a Pro Bowl. All right? That's the good thing about it. He hasn't made a Pro Bowl and is unlikely to make the Pro Bowl. And it doesn't count alternates. So okay. he's in the position where he'd be the third ranked on the salary. And it's the average between 3 and 20 of the highest paid receivers over a five-year period. Okay. So it's not the whack that you think, like when you see a quarterback in that spot, you know, where it's like 17, 18 million. But it could get into double digits for that. And, you know, ideally what you would do is re-up his contract after that and not go to where you pick up the option. But they're going to have to make a decision on that. And he's, like you said, if something else comes up, and it always happens at a bad time. The worst thing is when things seem to be going smoothly, and it happens. Mm-hmm. Now, this team is so good right now. I think it's the best team in the NFL, and that's what I was just writing a column about. Right now, it's the best team in the NFL that you can just plug and play. That's how good they are.
It seems that way, and that doesn't favor him in any which way. You know what I mean? Going forward,
yeah,
because they can look at him and say, listen, we can put Khalif Raymond in here, and we can score 50 freaking points. You know what I mean? Obviously, it's a little skewed because of the return yards and stuff like that. But
yeah, but that was the number one defense statistically in the NFL.
And crushing them. And it's just – they're in – listen, Pat, I'm speechless because I've never seen a Lion – like they've always gone and disappointed, or there's always a glaring hole. And they do still have a glaring hole, but their defense is still holding up. Like I said – this weekend's game in Green Bay, where it's supposed to rain during the game, I think is going to be a telling sign for them. If they overcome this game and they win it in the rain, where people say Jared Goff can't get it done outdoors in bad weather, yada, 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 look out, NFL. Like, they might not make a trade. They might stand pat, and they might believe in what they got.
Underrated, though, is their schedule moving forward. They got everybody 6-2 or 5-3. And then the 4-4 team is the 49ers, who are going to have Christian McCaffrey back by the time they play him. The only layup they got is Jacksonville. That's the only layup.
But yet again, I mean, if Jacksonville can get out of their own way, they can be a pretty decent offense. Now, I know Brian Thomas for them just went down. He's out 2 to 4 weeks or something along those lines. But they can move the ball. But remember the last time Jacksonville came in here, I really feel like that was the Lions coming out party. They scored 40-some-odd points on them and just dominated them. So yeah. I know that was 2 years ago, but Jacksonville really hasn't gotten much better. I mean, these were two teams where they picked one and they picked two with Trayvon Walker and Aiden Hutchinson. And you see the different trajectories of the team. Now, both quarterbacks got paid. Trevor Lawrence was paid $200 million or whatever for what? I'm not really sure. Maybe winning national titles in college. But I just – you're right, Pat. This is when the schedule really, really gets tough, and it's what can you do? And the more they put on tape, the more teams are going to know. I would still be a little concerned with this team because you did mention how Tennessee was a top defense. And those first couple drives, they got to Jared Goff, and it didn't look very good. Now they put it all together. But you're right, Pat. It's – they're so good, but I think some of us here are skeptical because of their history. And I'm sorry, but that's always going to be part of them until they get past that.
Well, you and I shared a lot of moments of watching them.
But even I'm like – they got this.
They're good.
Get the ball back. They got it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think they're a great team. I hate to say it, simply because I don't want to, like, oh, yeah, get ahead of myself, you know. But I'm glad to say it because Lions fans deserve that. So,
and I don't think that they're the Eagles of last year either that started 8-1 and then just completely fell off. That's not going to happen to this team.
But they do not want to play a playoff game in Philly in January. They do not a playoff game in Green Bay in January. They don't want to go out on the West Coast again. Mm-mm. So, like, and after this game, they play Houston at Houston. So, you know, getting that home field advantage for just having two games, that's a huge factor. And I don't know. I put this out there a little bit, but Lions history, 90 years, they're 2-13 on the road in the postseason. And haven't
that's
won a postseason.
Good.
I won a postseason game on the road since 1957.
Huh.
And at home, they're 6-1. So what does that tell you? I think it's you got to get that home field. And can you imagine how crazy people would be around here if they're playing the NFC Championship at Ford Field for a shot at the Super Bowl?
I was lucky enough to go to both those playoff games last year via my father-in-law's tickets. And, Pat, we've seen a lot of games in that stadium. I've never seen anything like that. I've seen a lot of games in other team stadiums, and I haven't heard as loud as that and into it. Now, some of that had to do with Matthew Stafford coming back to Detroit. I understand that, but it's a true home field advantage. And you can keep, and look how they play at home. They play like nobody can touch them. I mean, you got Bill Belichick telling Jared Goff that nobody can stop your offense. And it's like, if there's higher praise, I don't know where it would come from.
That's right. But anyway, enjoy the conversation today. Don't forget to subscribe to us, Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store, of course, Odyssey.com. Give us the likes, all those different things. We appreciate you listening so much. Until next time, we'll see you.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.